Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, our guest this evening is Pastor Butch Paugh, who does a radio program, and he's on the Genesis Network, follows my program in the afternoons, and then, he's been one of the leading patriots in America for many years, but he's undertaking a new effort. He is running for the governor of the state of West Virginia on the Constitution Party ticket, and I thought we'd just get him on and find out why he's running, what he expects to hope, what he hopes to accomplish, and what's really happening in this effort. This would be sort of a change in your life, won't it, Butch?
Be a big change, Dr. Stan, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate you so much. You are one of the kindest, most sincere people I've ever met in my life, and I thank you for giving us a chance to be in your program to share what we're trying to do here in the state of West Virginia. Obviously, and I don't think anyone can argue this point, the states have lost the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, states' rights. I want, if our God will allow, to get my voice in the battle here in West Virginia. We have to raise a lot of signatures to do that. We're trying to raise some funds right now to guarantee we get on the ballot. We can hire a firm to get whatever amount of signatures we don't get ourselves, which we need 15,000. But I want to get on the ballot to speak the truth to the people in this state, and prayerfully even around the country as we get more access to press because we're running for governor. And I would like to see the state of West Virginia be what it was supposed to be from the beginning, a sovereign nation of itself, so to speak, unified through a federal form of laws, very limited laws offered to the federal government to help the states coexist with one another. Our states are in desperate need. The federal government has overtaken all the territories of the states. They've dictated out to the states for years because they give the states federal monies. They keep on passing more and more federal laws, and the states think, or at least accept, that they must obey these laws when every law passed by the federal government, according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 says, they're only valid within 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. So anyway, I want, if it be our God's will, to get on the ballot here in West Virginia to voice these truths and maybe take back one state in the country for the glory of our God and back under constitutional law, just like Congressman Ron Paul's trying to do for the whole nation, I'm trying to do for West Virginia.
Well, I guess one of the big problems we have today is that most people don't understand our Constitution. They don't even understand our form of government. They don't understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. Most Americans honestly think the United States is a democracy because, of course, the politicians say it's a democracy, the teachers in school say it's a democracy, the Great Foundation say it's a democracy. I mean, you cannot get anybody to explain the difference between a republic and a democracy and why the founders of this country created a republic and why they did not want a democracy. But when the other side controls all the major means of communication and all the major media outlets, it's little wonder we have such an uneducated public, and I'm sort of hoping, Butch, yes, that you'll be able to get at least those people back there in West Virginia to understand that simple difference between a republic and a democracy and why our founding fathers created a republic, never a democracy.
A democracy, of course. Now, if anybody doesn't believe what we're saying, if for those that still know the Pledge of Allegiance, recite it sometime and find out whether it says republic or democracy for which this flag stands. A question to answer very briefly and quickly that way.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Butch Paugh here at the Radio Liberty. Well, Butch, are you going to have any opposition there for the Constitution Party, or will you be running as the only candidate?
I'll be the only candidate on the Constitution Party for governor. There'll be no one running against me in the primary. Once I'm on the ballot, I'm on the ballot. The only opposition I'll have will be from other parties, Democrat, Republican, of course, the two main same parties, and possibly a Mountaineer Party, which is a very small token of anything. I do believe once I'm on the ballot, although I don't know the chances of winning are very great, I think I can pull enough percentage of the votes in that if as time goes on, ventures again, we'll draw enough percentage of votes in to guarantee them a seat, a place on the ballot from now on.
Well, now, of course, do they have those electronic voting machines that can be hacked so easily?
Yes, to put them in. Not all counties have them yet, but yes, the goal, according to Secretary of State, is to put them in the state, and they are there. And,
if I were you, I think that's an excellent thing to campaign against. You know, here in California, the Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, was elected because she challenged the voting machines, said that she thought they could be rigged, and if she promised, if she could get to be Secretary of State, why, she would have them evaluated. And she did get elected, and she did have them evaluated, and she's decertified them because it's obvious they can be hacked, and any state that's putting them in obviously doesn't want a fair election.
Well, of course not. That's the problem with any place, and that's, of course, in national elections also. Voting machines are computers. Computers can be programmed to do whatever they're told to do. No matter what we punch into them, they can bypass our wishes and put into them as they will, and that's what's happening at a lot of elections across the country. Voter fraud is nothing new. This has been brought forth in videos as long as 10, 12 years ago. Voter fraud been done even with paper ballots, though. They show them punching holes in the ballots to vote for other people. This has all been done before, so we need hand-counted ballots, pencil-marked ballots, not punched and not computerized.
And because they say, oh, well, these have a paper trail. Yeah, but, I mean, you can't follow that paper trail.
They can't.
And that thing can be rigged. In fact, you can vote one way, and the machine recorded in a different way. And unless, of course, you had the ability to get into that computer, and they won't let you into the computer, they say, oh, that's proprietary. No, secret, we can't let you in there to find out if it's an honest vote. You're going to have to trust us.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that anybody who understands the basic evil nature of man would want to trust any politician. Certainly our founding fathers didn't trust people. That's why they created a republic and limited the power of the federal government.
Amen.
And they did that so that the people could be free. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Butch Paul. Well, this is Dr. Stan and the Pastor Butch Paws is running in Virginia, West Virginia. And actually, of course, West Virginia is one of the poorest states in the country, isn't it?
Well, as of about 2 weeks ago, we dropped to number 50. We were number 49, right above Mississippi for being the poorest state in the country. We dropped down to number 50. And I figure since this happened, no matter what I do as governor, I can't make it much worse. But we dropped down to number 50, and we've got to do something to find out why Virginia, the state we broke off of in 1861, which in my opinion was a terrible mistake, but we did, is prospering, and our state is not. Obviously, there's something wrong with the way we're running business in this state, and the governor has a lot of strength and a lot of leeway in how the business in this state are allowed to come in and be conducted. You know, Dr. Stan, we must again reinstate the idea that the people have rights, and the states, as states have rights, states' rights, and that the states' rights are superior to the federal government's rights and the people's rights to the states' rights. This was the whole idea of a republic. A republic is a system of unchangeable laws. A democracy, laws can be changed at the whim of men by the majority. For example, they could vote next year that we, anyone the last name of Monteith, we want to kill them. 51% say yes. Well, Monteiths are open hunting season, so to speak. That's a democracy. It's three wolves and one sheep voting what they're going to have for dinner. It doesn't work. A republic is a system that respects the rights of individuals. We cannot take away your rights by voting them away as we have in this nation for years. And again, we must try to reassert ourselves as patriots, especially Christian patriots, and that understands that rights come from our Creator, not my man. And the Bible said, cursed be the man that puts his trust in man and makes flesh his arm. That's Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. We must not, we cannot trust government or put our trust in government powers or their economic system or their handouts and benefits. If we do, we curse ourselves. We not only will eventually lose all the benefits because government cannot do that. Government does not produce anything. It only takes. And once it takes so much, it has to give back more than it takes. It collapses. There goes your benefits. And by that time, we are enslaved in a system and become dependent upon this system. We must turn this back over to the people. The people should have a right to provide for themselves, to earn a living, and be able to earn enough of a living to pay the bills at their own pace of willing and willingness to work. Government has to get out of their pockets and off their backs and let businesses and individuals run their own lives and make them responsible for their own lives. Liberty, Dr. Stan, is a very... simple plan, but it requires much responsibility. Liberty is not a guaranteed cushion if you fall. You know, unemployment or benefits or Social Security or the other things that we used to have, welfare state. Liberty means I have the right to succeed. I also have the right to fail. And if I fail, then I try again. But liberty means I am free to produce and to do what's right and to succeed on my own. I'm not trusting any kind of organization, man, to do this. As governor of a state, the governor has a lot of power that's been taken away or given away by the states because the states are used to federal handouts, and governors don't want to rock the boat. My goodness, they get billions of dollars for their highway programs, for their school systems. We need to put this back down on a state level, Dr. Stan, where we can run our own highways. We can take care of our own school systems. Become independent from federal funds and let the people of the state govern themselves as was meant to be by the Constitution.
Right. Well, let me just define democracy. In fact, if our listeners really need to get a copy of the Federalist Papers, we do carry them here. They're seminal to an understanding of what America was about. They were written by James Madison and Jay and Hamilton, you know, back there in that period before the Constitution was ratified. But if you go to the 10th of the Federalist Papers, James Madison said this: democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths.
Yes.
And that, of course, as you notice, we're getting more and more violence and chaos, and it is because we have converted from a republic. To a democracy. And of course, John Adams, the second president of the United States, warned that, remember, democracies never last long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. And it's too bad that they do not teach people the difference between a republic and democracy today, but those people who would establish a tyranny in America have simply abrogated this. And when you go to school and you learn about government, you never taught what our founding fathers said on how they warned against these concepts of democracy. Adams later said democracy will soon degenerate into an anarchy, such an anarchy that every man will do what is right in his own eyes and no man's life or property or reputation or liberty will be secure, and every one of these will soon mold itself into a system of subordination of all moral virtues and intellectual abilities, all the powers of wealth, beauty, wit, and science, to the wanton pleasures, the capricious wealth, and the execrable, abominable cruelty of one or a very few. And that is, of course, what always happens.
Absolutely, and if people would just take notice of what you said, especially one of the strongest issues I want to make in my campaign for governor is the right of personal property ownership. That is the abolition of real estate taxes and personal property taxes. Now, the reason I say that is whoever assumes the right to tax your property assumes the right over your property. If they can tax it, you never own it. It's always at their whim and their will that you get to keep your property. You can work for your home for 25, 30 years, work hard, sweat hard, and really dig in and pay off your mortgage and think that you own your home. But if over a period of time you become disabled or can no longer earn a living, a tax increase, which they do everywhere, you could lose your home to the state because the state has assumed ownership of your property, and the states demand that you pay them taxes, or they will take your property and suffer taxes. So you become homeless in a place where you strived all your life to have a place to live for your family, your wife and family when you go on. These things must be stopped. We must reinstate the idea of private property. Again, a republic respects the rights and properties of individuals. A democracy always has a majority rule until the majority becomes so corrupt that it self-destructs. And that's what's happened to America.
Now, excuse me, Senator Byrd, you're a senator there in Washington?
Yes, Senator Byrd and Senator Rockefeller, God help us, yes they are.
And of course, my understanding is Senator Byrd gets more money per capita for your state than any other state in the nation. All that federal money is coming in, but it's certainly not going to the people if you're the poorest state in the union.
Well, he is known as the Pork King. We have many, many highways named after Senator Byrd. There's a statue of him in the rotunda of the Capitol in West Virginia. And again, God help us. The man has been, I want to get into the background, the things he's done over his career as a politician. He's been in politics, he's been in office longer than I have been alive, and I'll be 59 next month. So that gives you an idea of how long he's had an honest job. Never. He's always worked in the government. He's become more of a dictator than a public servant. But he does bring money into the state, so therefore people keep electing him. As long as the states depend on the federal government, Dr. Stan, for their benefits and for their needs, they will never become independent. As long as the people depend on the state for their benefit and needs, they will never become a free people. People cry, we want freedom, we want freedom, we want freedom. Well, freedom doesn't come from the one who feeds you. The one who feeds you becomes your lord, your master. People must to realize that the governor, the state, and the federal government are not to be our caretakers. They're not to be here to watch over us from womb to the tomb. They're here only to enforce godly laws, righteous laws, and protect the rights of the people. Other than that, they had no legitimate cause at all. Civil government was to be, according to Scripture, and I did a whole series on this teaching, it's titled Creation Out of Order. Civil government was to be the smallest of all forms of government, and the most watched, because it always tends to tyranny, and that's been proved over thousands of years of civil authority, civil government. We have to have a government, no doubt about it. Living society, you must have some form of civil authority to enforce righteous and just laws. But when that authority oversteps its bounds, then it's up to the people to reinstate their rights, as Article 10 of the Constitution says, and to cause these people, the bureaucrats, the law enforcement officers, to back off from their usurpation of our rights and put them back where they belong, within the bounds of being a servant. The government now has become our master. It's not our servant, and that is totally out of order. We must go back to what our forefathers intended, to what our Creator intended. Government is to be our servant, not our master and our lord.
Well, of course, the thing is that people have forgotten that any government that can provide whatever you need must be able to take whatever you have, because government has no money other than what it takes from us by force.
Right.
And any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. People that demand freedom and that they want things from government, they forgot that the founding fathers of America feared government. People need to go back and read the writings of Thomas Jefferson and read the Federalist Papers. I mean, America was a unique nation because here was the first time in all recorded history where men could really be free. Yes, we were imperfect because a man himself is imperfect. But our founding fathers recognized you could never trust men with power, because power corrupts. And that's why they limited the power of government with the chains of the Constitution. Well, they've long since taken those chains off of the Congress, and they're forging them for the people. We'll be right back in just a moment with Pastor Butch Paul. Well, Butch, certainly, you're right in the process now of trying to collect signatures. How many do you have to get 15,000 signatures? 15,000, how many do you have at the present time?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
By the way, I'm in the office on all day Thursdays. I run a ministry. I work a job. I work a full-time job. Also do five radio shows every night, 9 o'clock p.m. each on Monday through Friday, on shortwave on 3.215, repeat on 9.985, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I'm on several AMFM stations. They can listen to it on PastorButch.com, GCNLive.com. They can go to my website, PastorButch.com, to see about the ministry. We then go for Butch Paul for Gov to see a little statement made on there and some questions that I answer specifically on the website, Butch Paul for Gov. If they want to help us, then do so very easily, and we sure could use financial help because, as I said before, we must garner 15,000 verified signatures. That has to be verified by the Secretary of State of West Virginia that they are registered voters, that they actually live in this state. We must do that no later than May of next year. That's not like a long time off. That's not a long time off to do this. And we want to get enough funds in our treasury so in case we fall short of that, we can hire a firm that will get it done for us quickly and efficiently and ensure our ballot access.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you would have a question for a Pastor Butch, why, give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly Butch Pop, or those of you interested, is on the Telstar 5, a streaming video. We stream 24 hours a day, and you can pick that up at Global Star 4 at my website, and perhaps at other people's website, or certainly up on the Internet, Global Star 4, or just Global Star, and then the 4th channel, and of course Pastor Butch is there with certainly Chuck Chrismeyer and Joyce Riley and myself, streaming 24 hours a day. So you can listen to a Butch Paws program there simply at Global Star, www.globalstar. Who actually puts out the shortwave that you're on? Is that
WCR
or what?
WWCR does that for us.
All right, fine. Well, you have Ray calling from Santa Cruz, I guess, maybe. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Pretty good. I do have a question for Butch.
Okay, go right ahead.
What is your view on alternative energy, renewable fuels? Do you think the government has any business telling us what kind of gasoline, whether we buy biodiesel or what the hell ever, you know?
The government has no authority in that at all.
But they're trying to. They're trying.
They are. I think it behooves any state or any individual to try to find more efficient ways to run their homes and their business and their automobiles. But that's not government. It's not the government's business what you use to do that with.
No, I think people have to understand this whole flap on ethanol is simply a transfer of funds to Archer Daniel Midland.
Sure.
And, of course, actually the ethanol takes more energy to produce than it puts out, number one. Secondly, it would not be technically viable without massive subsidies from the federal government. Otherwise, I mean, it could not compete with oil, and not only that, but it's terrible for your engines.
And, of course, it's food control. If they take the corn and other grains and put in and gasoline, that means less food on the table. It will cause food prices to go up. That's obviously true. And food is control.
And, of course, the price of corn is going up, the price of meat is going up, the price of chickens is going up. The price of everything that's made from corn is going up. And so there's no problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Ray?
Yeah, well, we've been hearing a lot of talk from Washington, D.C. about how we should all conserve our energy and all this, and Bush has been involved in it, too, and...
I'll tell you what, he comes from an oil family, and the price of oil has gone up phenomenally. When, of course, actually he got into office, the price of oil was $10 or $12 a barrel. What is it now?
$70. And I'd like to make a comment, too, if you don't mind, Dr. Stanley.
Right ahead.
I want to say something that may shock everybody, but the price of gasoline has not raised in my lifetime. And that's going to shock a lot of people, but I can still buy a gallon of gas. Let's say it's $3. It's not quite $3 a gallon, but let's say it is. I can still buy a gallon of gas for 30 cents if I use silver dimes worth a dollar a piece.
Sure.
I remember when it was a dime a gallon. I remember those days.
What they've done is destroyed the value of our currency.
Absolutely.
And they've done it intentionally. That's what's so tragic about it.
Okay, that's all I needed to say.
All right, fine. Well,
thanks
so much, Ray. And we'll get
thanks
to Mike here in just a moment.
Fine.
And Mike, you want to hang on? We'll be with you in just a moment. I guess this evening is Pastor Butch Pond. If you have a question, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here in the Central Coast of California. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is, of course, Pastor Butch Paul. We have Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question or comment?
Two questions. Well, first a comment about the price of corn. It seems George Soros and Bill Gates and a few others are investing heavily in corn. Apparently, I'm sure they know or they knew at the time that the price was going to go up, or else somebody's helping them out a little bit by getting the price up, or at least creating this perceived demand for fuel. So they're going to make a lot of money.
Right.
But I want to ask your guest. He was talking about Robert Byrd.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember something from 8 or 10 years ago, some story about him, where apparently every time the congressional elections come around, the new congressmen are called into his office for a little discussion. And apparently some kind of arm twisting going on, and they come out of that discussion with a new understanding of how they're going to go about fulfilling their official duties. And I wondered if your guest knows maybe a little bit more about it, what might be going on with that.
You know, Mike, I don't know. I've heard that story. I cannot verify that story. I don't know that's true. I just know Senator Byrd has been in office, as I said, longer than I've been alive. And the man has become a fixture, I guess you could say, for this state. He's become almost a legend in his own time in West Virginia because of the money he's brought back to the state. It's a disgrace. But nonetheless, that's just the way it is.
And in fact, anybody who's really interested in knowing who Senator Byrd really is, I suggest they get some of the things written by Kathy O'Brien.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who, of course, was a CIA sex slave, and she had a very intimate and close relationship with, Senator Byrd. And she writes about that in her book, Transformation of America and Access Denied. So those books are available. And they've been around for a long time. There's an excellent section in there on Dick Cheney, long before, of course, Dick Cheney was
Absolutely.
Ever even considered for vice president. If you'd like to know who is really running the country, I suggest you get a copy of Transformation of America. That's TRANCE, Formation of America. Anything else, Mike?
Well, it just seems like there's an awful lot of reasons why people should read that book.
All right, fine.
But Kathy O'Brien still will not come into West Virginia. She's that afraid of Senator Byrd.
Yeah, that's right, and probably with very, very good reason. These are ruthless people, unfortunately, and they hold positions at the highest levels of our government. Wouldn't it be nice if we had honorable people representing what was once a great and honorable nation? Thanks very much for calling, Mike.
You know, Dr. Stan, I'd like to say, too, if anybody would like to call me tomorrow, I'm in my office from 9 to 5 Eastern all day on Thursday. Call at 800-777-4403. I'd talk to
you. All right. Why don't you give that telephone number again?
800-777-4403. They'd like to also give an address. If they want to send a donation, it helps get them
right ahead.
Here.
Right ahead.
The address is 1601 Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, Avenue. That's in Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R, West Virginia, 25064.
Give that number once more, that address.
Okay, 1601 Myers Avenue, Dunbar, West Virginia, 25064. The reason we're asking for help across the nation is because if we can help one state to regain its rights, we have at least one refuge in the country we can get into and be able to become a free people. That's so vitally important. If one state can do it, it may inspire others to do it. As a matter of fact, even some states like Vermont have passed resolutions to secede from the Union. Now, I'm not making it up. That's a true story. But this is how serious it's getting. So we want to get on the ballot here so we can at least speak the truth. Our nation has got to hear the truth one more time before judgment falls upon it.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Carol calling from Fort Thomas, Kentucky. How far is that from Lexington or from Cincinnati, Carol?
Oh, it's 5 minutes from Cincinnati.
All right, fine.
North Kentucky.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Are you listening on the radio station there in Cincinnati?
I am.
All right, it's good to have you with us.
Which is not a good broadcast, but I listen hard.
All right, fine. If you have a question for our guest.
Know about the Liberty Amendment.
The Liberty Amendment?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Bring me up there, please.
Now, well, the Liberty Amendment, of course, was many, many years ago to do away with the IRS.
In 1944, it was proposed by Willis Stone. 10 states have already ratified it, and Ron Paul is working on it today.
Ron Paul is a fantastic man. I'm backing him 100%. As a matter of fact, Ron Paul's office and myself, when I get on the ballot, have committed to each other to hold a rally here in West Virginia.
Right.
Help him and myself.
Well, he is great. Now, if you give me your address, I'll send you his booklet.
Oh,
on
please
it.
Do. Okay,
and
my,
he's
my
still
address,
working on it.
My address is 224.
Now, my pen got away.
Okay.
Well,
you can call tomorrow.
I'm going to send it to Dr. Stan.
Okay, you can call me tomorrow at 800-777-4403 after 9 o'clock a.m. I'm glad to answer your questions for you.
Okay, Carol. Thank you. Anything else, Carol?
Okay, no, that's it. I'm sitting down here with lots of papers and no pen.
All right, fine. All right, thanks for calling. It's good to hear.
I need to be a better scout than that.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. That's Carol calling from North Kentucky. And if you're out there in the across America, you have a question for Pastor Butch Baum, again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Butch is putting out a great deal of effort, and because he will be viciously attacked, as anybody is who stands up for freedom at this time in history, because there really are people who have a different vision for America. They believe in a ruling elite. They believe in a fascist society or feudalistic society. They're working to pursue that goal. And if you doubt that, let me suggest Professor Carol Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Professor Quigley was a professor of history and economics at both Princeton and Harvard before he went to Georgetown University, where he completed his tenure as a professor there. But in this classic book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, he explained how the system really works. He explained finance. He explained the Federal Reserve System. He explained the ruling elite. He explained how the bankers create money out of nothing. And on page 324 of his book, he explained the central banking system, not only of America, but the world. And he simply points out that these people get together, they hold their secret meetings, and they're working towards a feudal society. That is expression, not mine. They want a feudal society. Well, of course, in a feudal society, you had your feudal lords and you had your serfs. And that's what they really want. They want to return to serfdom. That's why they want all power centralized in Washington, D.C. And that is, of course, why we need people working at the state and local level and educating the public about the difference between a republic and a democracy, explaining to them that liberty and limited government are synonymous and that tyranny and total government are synonymous. And these ideas don't take rocket science. I think most people want to be free. It is simply that they don't understand that you cannot have a government that provides for you and be free. And you can't have a government that can send your sons and daughters off to war and be free. We have a constitution, and of course we have never declared war on Iraq. We've never declared war on Afghanistan. And we have congressmen and senators back there in Washington, D.C., who have never read the constitution. Even though they've sworn to uphold it, they have no idea what it says. What we need to do is have every American learn about the Constitution.
Amen.
Is there any way you could perhaps get any classes going back there in West Virginia and begin to teach people about our Constitution?
You know,
this wonderful document.
I never thought about that before. That would be wonderful on the state level to have that reestablished in schools, making a mandatory requirement that they at least have a couple years of education on the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Founding Fathers' writings on the reasons for putting together the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and even a state constitution. Wonderful idea. As governor, I would do my best to see that start back into the schools to help people understand what just government is. You know, you were talking about a tyranny and the downfall of the nation. The North American Union, which is being discussed more and more all the time, I know that a lot of people want to deny this is happening, but George Bush and Vincent A. Fox and Martin, who was Prime Minister of Canada, have come together to agree that they want a North American Union to do with the sovereignty of America. You know better than I do the powers behind this. So they want to control the world. I want to divide the world into three sections, a North American continent or union, if you will, an Asian group and a European group, which I've already done the European group. Africa now is going into a common currency. The whole nation of Africa, which is a common currency. They want America, Canada, Mexico to go into the Miro, a common dollar. It's been fought. Thank God it's been fought by people of the country. But it's got to happen. We have to have at least a few states who want to say, we're not going to join that. You can't make us join it. And, you know, and if you're going to try to force us, then you're going to have to come across our borders and face our National Guard, our state guards again, because we're not going to join this NAU. We're not going to give up our sovereignty, our rights as American citizens and citizens of individual states. Dr. Stan, we're losing our country by attrition. We're losing by apathy and indifference by the people. We must educate the people. That's one reason I'm running for governor. Not that I have much of a chance of winning on the Constitution Party. I certainly will give my best shot, but at least if I get on the ballot, I'll have another platform to speak the truth from, and maybe I can reach a few thousand more people. That is the main reason I'm running.
Well, no doubt, because remember when Jesse Ventura won the election up there, what was that? And it was Wisconsin or Minnesota,
Ventura, right, yes.
And of course, he was running as a third party candidate, and he won the election and did a pretty good job while he was there. And I think that, you know, I think there are a lot of people there are disillusioned with the Republicans, and they're disillusioned with the Democrats. And certainly, you know, the Republicans have got us into this war and have no intention of getting us out. The Democrats are supposedly going to get us out. And when they got the power, why, they just weaseled and backed off and kept appropriating more and more and more money so the slaughter would continue. And, of course, what people say, well, my goodness, if we pull out, there'll be chaos. And I would simply point out, as long as we stay there, there's going to be chaos.
Exactly right.
You've got to have chaos either way. Would you rather have chaos with a lot of American boys being killed, or would you rather have the chaos with, of course, the Shias continuing to kill the Sunnis? And right now we are financing and arming the Sunnis, you know, so they can kill the Shias. And why would we be doing that? Because we've been fighting the Shias all along. Why are we arming the people who've been killing our boys, or maybe nothing as it appears to be? Well, I think it's great that you're going to be running. You know, we certainly wish you the best in your effort there.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much. And if the folks want to talk to me anytime, then call the toll-free number, 800-777-4403. I'll gladly answer every question, any question I can. And go to Butch Paul. That's Paul spelled with a P-A-U-G-H, butchpaulforgov.com. Or PastorButch.com, our ministry website, and then listen to the radio broadcast. You'll find the stations listed on our website. But by the grace of our Father in Heaven, Dr. Stan, you're fighting every day by what you do, 5 hours of radio shows a day. I do an hour radio program every day, and running for office and trying to run a ministry here. I want more than anything in the world to glorify our Heavenly Father. But if it be His will, I want to leave my grandbabies somewhat of a free country, to reinstate righteous laws, to bring in back in real money, get the power out of the Federal Reserve, to coin our own money if we have to in our own state, to make real money again, to make this state prosperous, to let businesses come in and prosper and to expand and create the jobs that only businesses can. Governments can create jobs. If they do, they must take money from somebody else to do so. We must get some common sense and some righteousness back in the leadership of this country. So that, again, is why I'm running. That's why Ron Paul's running, and I didn't want to do it. I guess I'm willing to take the bullet, so to speak. If the people will help me stand in the foxhole, I'll be the first one up on the line, and I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Somebody's got to do it. I've been called to do it. This is not something I'm doing lightly. I don't need to do it. I've already got a job. I didn't really want to do it. I prayed about it and felt like I should. So I'm willing to take a stand in the front of the line and take the bullet for everybody else, but I've got to have help. Let the people behind me supporting me to get me on the ballot and get this thing moving.
All right, Butch. Well, certainly we may have somebody calling in here. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, it's really a very interesting phenomenon. We hear about the Iowa straw poll that they had here about 2 weeks ago that Mitt Romney won, but they didn't point out that they were using those electronic voting machines, and when they checked them, why, of course, they were all pre-programmed so that Romney and Huckabee would win, and I think that Ron Paul came in fourth, but of course, in the straw polls in several other states here since that time, why Ron Paul has been way out in front. Now, you're not going to hear about that because we have a controlled media.
Yes.
90 to 95% of all of the major media outlets in the United States are controlled by five major corporations. For those that like to verify what I'm saying, the book is called The New Media Monopoly. It's written by a Professor Ben Bagdakian, and you can order that through your local bookstore. And Cynthia, Professor Bagdakian has been following this since the early 1980s, when there were about 50 major corporations that control the major part of the media, and now it's down to five. And now, of course, we see that Rupert Murdoch, who everybody will talk to you about, oh, he is such a conservative. Rupert Murdoch, of course, is buying the Wall Street Journal. Well, of course, Rupert Murdoch, when he was in college, was known as Rupert the Red, because he always kept a bust of his hero on his desk. That hero was Lenin. The last thing I heard, he still had that that bust of Lenin. So he's about as conservative as his hero Lenin. We have articles on Murdoch where he talks about keeping the bust of Lenin. Why would our leading conservatives call Rupert Murdoch, or Rupert the Red, a conservative? Well, I suppose that compared to them, maybe he is. Let's go to Jack, who's calling about voting fraud. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Great, Dan. Thank you. I just wanted to bring up what one of your previous guests, I think it was Brad Freeman, a documentary called Stealing America Vote by Vote.
Right.
It's a librarian told me you can go to onlinejournal.com and view that. And, of course, there's blackboxvoting.org. And I just think it's good that in his campaign make this known to all of the prospective supporters so that they can more effectively get the word out so that we can hopefully derail any of that kind of skullduggery.
I would simply tell people do not vote on the Democratic Day, vote absentee. And that way they've got to catch your vote separately, and at least there's going to be a paper ballot there. And the more people that vote absentee, the sooner we're going to be able to force them to stop stealing our elections. And stealing them with these electronic voting machines. And you go back to the year 2000, and why did they keep talking about the hanging chads, the hanging chads? It was so we would bring in these electronic voting machines so they could rig our elections. And remember, of course, our minds are molded, our taste forms or ideas are suggested by the people who control the media, and they kept emphasizing voter improprieties in Florida to justify appropriating hundreds of million dollars for these voting machines that are pre-programmed, and you get any result out of them you want to.
Indeed, Dr. Stan. When you were mentioning that, I remember viewing the documentary called Orwell Rose in His Grave. It was all about this media collaboration and corporate monopoly takeover after Michael Powell, he was the FCC chairman, and he said the only free speech rights that mattered were those of the corporations.
All right. Do you have any comments on that, Pastor Butch?
Well, what he's saying really is we live in a fascist state. And that's where the corporation and government become one. And that's what's happened. They become one power. We live in a fascism.
Yeah.
And the people actually think that George Bush is a good Christian conservative. A lot of churches think he's a fine Christian man. He is the worst president in the history of this country. He's done more in 6 years in office than all the rest of them combined. Spent more money in 6 years than all the others combined, and take away more liberty than all the others combined. Yet the churches, at least as a whole, think he's a good Christian man. It's a sad situation, but that's how dumbed down we become as American people.
All right, anything else, Jack?
I would just ask the pastor why he thinks none of the churches have condemned this genocide police action. And I'll hang up. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks very much, Jack. Because Jack was asking, why haven't the Christian churches spoken out against what's going on? Why are they backing the war over there? I mean, Christians should not be advocating war. Did Iraq attack the United States?
No.
And did Afghanistan attack the United States? No, they were paying hospitality to Osama bin Laden, but we were financing them, and we financed them right up through the time of the attack. Why were we giving money to Afghanistan that was hosting and protecting Osama bin Laden? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, the churches obviously call themselves the church, but they're not churches. They are 501c3 corporations, and that's also a fact. Matter of fact, one of our state constitutional amendments doesn't allow a church in the state to become a 501c3, although they do. They need to reinstate that. They're not churches. They're corporations. They back the powers that be because that's where the money is.
Well, I think that it's time that we had ministers who had more fear of God than they have government.
Amen.
And we had ministers, of course, who would not simply go along with the flow because everybody else is doing it. And so many of the major Christian leaders are regularly invited to go back either to the White House or to participate in these telephone calls with Karl Rove or other government officials where they get 30 or 40 ministers together and they can all get, of course, brought up to the latest things like why we're going to have to go to war with Iran before, of course, they attack us. Well, Pastor Butch, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, sir, I want to thank you for having me on, Dr. Stan. I do appreciate it more than I can tell you. And I really sincerely pray with all my heart that I can be a blessing to somebody listening to this program or anywhere else any other time. But I'm also asking the people if they would help us get on the ballot from all across the country. Would you donate to the campaign, help me get on the ballot here so I can run as a Constitution Party candidate for the right reasons? And again, then call me tomorrow between 9 to 5 Eastern Time at 800-777-4403. Ask questions about my campaign, no matter where they're from in the country. Or if they want to give a donation, call the same number, and I'll give them the address to send donations to. If they want to contact me, they'll give my address also. Just call tomorrow between 9 to 5 Eastern at 800-777-4403. Now is the time for all concerned men and women, patriots, to stand. This may very well be our last chance, Dr. Stan, if we even have this chance. I pray we do. But we must stand and fight. The duty is ours. Consequences are God's. I'm not out to call the end of this thing. I'm just here to obey what I'm told to do. I'll let him sort out the end whenever it's time. That's none of my business.
Well, all of us are required to do what we can in times like this. And I've often reminded of what Winston Churchill said: "Still, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, when you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you have to fight with all odds against you. Or there may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope for survival, for it would be better to perish than to live as slaves."
Amen.
Well, our battle, of course, is not with rifles or with stones. Our battle is, of course, with tracks and with programs and with ideas and with books and with videos and DVDs. Our battle is to try to educate the American people about these ideas of freedom under God. And the basic concepts that our founding fathers recognized: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
And, of course, until such time as people understand that God, of course, I believe, played a part in creating this nation, I believe we've been blessed by God. I believe, of course, there's a conspiracy against God. I believe, of course, that this nation is going to face terrible judgment unless there's a great revival and we return back to the source from which all freedom comes. And, of course, I hope that Butch is going to be right in the forefront of that battle. Butch, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you,
God bless you for everything you're doing.
God bless you, and God bless everybody's listening. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. And that was Pastor Butch Palm, who's running for the governorship of West Virginia. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I just wanted to introduce you to Butch Palm. And, of course, he's running a long way from California, so, in West Virginia. But he is a humble man who loves America, and, of course, he's already come under tremendous attack. Because, of course, anybody who bucks the system. The two-party system, Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B, or Socialist Party R and Socialist Party D, it really doesn't matter. They're both going the same directions. Oh, they pretend to be different. They pretend that the Republicans are pro-life, but the Republicans, of course, have been in control in Washington, D.C. for 6 long years. And How many babies' lives have they saved? How many? Absolutely none. All they had to do was pass a piece of legislation by some majority vote outlawing abortion and stating, of course, that the Supreme Court and no other court could pass or even comment on this legislation. They have the right to do that, and they didn't do it. And certainly President Bush had the right to lead that, and he didn't do it. And the whole idea is to give the impression that one party is in favor of the of family values and pro-life, and the other party is on the other side. But of course, it really isn't true. It is all illusion and delusion. And as long as you can get people to believe in the two-party system, then there's no opposition. I think what Bushbaugh is doing is very, very commendable. Well, we do hope that many of you would like to know the difference between the Republican democracy and the things that I've read this evening came from a little pamphlet we put together called We Are a Republic. We have a four-tape set on the foundations of our freedom going into the background of our Constitution. We have a wonderful book called America's God and Government, God and Country by our friend Bill Federer. We certainly have one of my favorite books is Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer, going into the background of what the Supreme Court is doing. And then, of course, to understand the spiritual forces that energize the people working behind the scenes, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And it explains why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Everybody knows that they took God and prayer out of our schools, but why did they take God and prayer out of our schools? What motivated the Supreme Court justices who voted to, of course, undermine the very foundation of the religious freedom of our nation? Because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It didn't say the states, the local community. It was a restriction on the power of Congress as far as the pornography, as far as freedom of speech and freedom of press and freedom of assembly, and these other items were to be regulated, if people wanted to, at the state and the local level. Instead, of course, the Supreme Court set out to create moral anarchy, but why did they do it? That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course you can get the DVD along with that. Then you need to watch my DVD on the Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And then, of course, the DVD, award-winning DVD, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. Because when the Capitol was laid out in 1790, the background was created for the current war in the Middle East that's being waged today. And you can't understand anything going on unless you understand the secret of the architecture of our nation's capital. You'll certainly want to get the DVD put forward by the man who produced both the Secret Mysteries and the Riddles in Stone videos. It's called The Atlantis Connection. It's available only from Radio Liberty. If you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Remember our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. We hope many of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day trying to educate the American people. Please pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an investigative reporter. He's an Israeli citizen, and, of course, he was instrumental many years ago in convincing a majority of the people of Israel that Rabin, the Prime Minister Rabin, had been murdered as part of a conspiracy on the part of government. It was a coup d'etat, and of course, Barry was well known there, and he's been reporting on Israel for a long time, but in fact, he was becoming so effective that he had to leave Israel for his own protection, and he's here in the United States and a frequent guest on Radio Liberty, but this evening we're going to be talking about a far different subject. In fact, recently, Barry has agreed to tell us about a book he wrote some years ago called The Return of the Giants. Now, Return of the Giants, you may say, what in heaven's name is this about? Well, we've already done several programs, of course, the background of the UFO sightings that began in Israel, I think, in 86 or 87, and we've actually gone through a series of programs on the very stories that Barry investigated as he takes us through his book, which is available at lulu.com. And, of course, he has the DVD, which we've seen, and where, of course, he is the featured speaker on Fox, Fox Network program, The Sightings. And, hi, Barry, thank you so much for being with us again.
Always a pleasure.
Well, let's let you pick up the story of the return of the Giants.
Okay, but I'm going to add a little Israel first.
All right, go ahead.
Well, last night I wasn't just angry at CNN. They did a show called Israel's Warriors or the Jewish Warriors. Christine Amanpour put together with her editors the most twisted, really a very revolting story of the settlers of Israel, and it bothered me. Well, I ended up fighting with my wife over this. I was so angry. I actually turned it off. But the key was the settlers who I knew, member of Knesset Hanan Porat, who I've had discussions with, and Yehuda Etzion. Well, it comes down to it that these settlers should never, ever go on CNN. Never. The editors of this horrible show presented was that they were liars, they stole land from the Palestinians, in short, this was editing at its very, very most disgusting worst. And it's all the fault of anyone who agrees to go on these shows, these publicity-hungry settlers who want to sell their book and want to present their case. They think they're going to get a fair audience. And what you had really was so damaging. What CNN put was so twisted and damaging. Now, there's no putting a Christine Amanpour on trial for twisting the news. There's no such thing as that. It doesn't exist. But, oh, I hear the music already.
Well, I'm afraid that's how it goes, but we'll have plenty of time this evening. And I know you're feeling a frustration. That's why I try to watch as little of the news as I can, because it's very hard to get the truth. But, well, once in a while you will see a program that makes it worthwhile. But, of course, there's so much propaganda against Israel and against the settlers. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, you go right ahead, Barry.
Well, just to polish off this show, I assume it had some influence. Their claim, of course, is if the settlers give up the land, that there will be peace with the Palestinians. Of course, no one mentions the fact that Gush Katif, or the Jews of Gaza, were tricked into leaving their homes after 35 years, and their land immediately became a war zone, that instead of bringing peace, it brought more war. And there were endless points the settlers undoubtedly told them that was left on the cutting room floor, but the issue was they admitted that they tricked the government and they tricked the world into stealing Palestinian land. That's what the editors got from the film. I imagine they had, let's say, of 1 hour, they reduced it to 30 seconds where the settlers just came off as thieves. Utter thieves. Now, what was actually said and what they said that was not shown was undoubtedly something very different. They also showed in the last section of a New York woman who moved in 82 to Israel, and she's now with Christian groups. And the Christian groups, of course, are pro-Israel and pro-settlement, and the fact remains that they looked awfully foolish on this show, awfully foolish. And it wasn't just against the settlers, it was against the Christian groups who support the settlers. Look, the fact remains, these Christian groups, whatever they're up to, is not Israeli. On the show on CNN, you have them focus. The Christian groups are dancing Israeli songs. Well, I've never seen a dance in Israel like this dance.
Go right ahead.
They're creating a new Israel with new dances that they've invented, and all of this made everybody look extremely foolish. Look, there's plenty of reason to be critical, but this was not an issue of criticism. This was an issue of slamming. I'll give you the ultimate example. They interviewed Carmi Gilon about the settlers. Carmi Gilon murdered Yitzhak Rabin.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Berry is saying that the CNN had interviewed a man who was involved with the murder of Rabin, of course, they did not bring that out, apparently, in Barry's opinion, that he was involved in the murder. So, but they were bringing this out in this recent program on what had actually happened with the settlers.
Oh, my Lord, yes. Here is Carmi Gilon commenting on the settlers. The man's got blood on his hands. The man's hands are dripping with blood. And there he is on CNN being interviewed by Christiane Amanpour, like he's a man to be respected. He's a murderer. They interview Shimon Peres. He's a murderer. They take, by the way, there was an author who was sort of the host. He was it was a two-hour show. He was on every 5 minutes. I have never heard of him. All in all, this was such a setup. It wasn't just anti-religious. This is just part of the campaign to destroy the settlers, but the worst of it was the settlers agreed to be filmed. I don't understand these people one little bit. They know what CNN is. Now look, I was once part, not of a protest, I took my table and I sold books at a protest of CNN in Jerusalem. These people, foul mouths you've never heard. You may see these reporters on TV being so-called sophisticated. They're extremely unsophisticated. They're extremely uneducated. The foul language that these reporters use against the protesters was unspeakable, simply unspeakable. And this is what is not understood. You get a network like a CNN, and you think you've got these high-class reporters. They're chosen because they're low-class. That's how they're chosen. That's how they get their jobs. And Christiane Amanpour is about as low a class, most devious woman. She's calling these settlers terrorists and conspirators in front of their eyes. And by the way, someone was their translator. I assure you, the translation was not what she said to them. You could tell by their faces that they would have been furious if they had understood what she said to them. But they were smiling, and they were happy, and they were fooled in thinking they were getting a fair shot. They were being set up something viciously. But again, that's why I've lost a lot of heart with the settlers, and that's why I'm talking about the subject of UFOs. I hid this for the longest time because there are people who have a prejudice against anyone who investigates issues at some depth. When I did my UFO book, it was not intended to be in contradiction to my political work. It was a way to earn money, and I spent a lot of time doing this with a lot of honor and integrity, and I corroborated my evidence. I brought, well, some of the world's great laboratories to examine materials, sands and metal shards and oils taken from circles. I did this with as much dignity as a person could do it, which is a lot more than what you saw on CNN last night. It was simply an abortion of human dignity. And the settlers, once again, walked into the trap. And that's why, of course, there will soon be no Judea and Samaria, if there is, in fact, an Israel. These Israelis don't understand that CNN is the enemy. They don't understand that the founder of CNN, Ted Turner, was in his time an extremely high-ranking member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They don't understand this. And, well, I give up trying to explain it to them. I did my best. Now, what we're going to talk about, I hid in Israel for many years. I didn't even talk about my book, Return of the Giants, simply because why would someone take my research on Yitzhak Rabin seriously if this guy is actually doing UFOs? Now, UFOs, for whatever reason, have been, they're not science. It's simply an issue that is not scientific. It's an issue of conspiracy thinkers, of wackos on the borderline of sanity. This is the way it's been turned out. And, well, I don't mind really being a wacko anymore, really. If at least I can sleep at night and I don't lie like CNN lied. So I balance it out. I've worked it out. My conscience is clean, and I will talk about this subject. Now, we spoke about the big issue, and that is the return of the Giants. Now, I know this audience is not the same as it was yesterday, so we'll do it all over again. Are you prepared?
We are prepared, and I would want you to cover just what you covered yesterday, because it was fascinating.
All right, and your voice sounds much healthier.
I'm feeling much better, I'll tell you. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Now, it's now December 3rd, 1991. This is an amazing month for UFOs in Israel, because a chief of police, his name was Yitzhak Mordechai, he was the chief of police of Beit Shan. He led a convoy of 300 to 400 soldiers and policemen and members of the security guard of local kibbutzim to chase a UFO for 3.5 hours, from 3 in the morning till 6:30 in the morning, you had 400 armed men chasing a UFO. And by the way, as I repeat often, this was front page news in the Israeli newspapers. Now, here's how the story unfolds. Yossi Ben Maoz is driving home from Haifa to Beit Sha'an when his taxi is, it's being scouted, it's being followed by a craft that makes no sense to him. At first, as usual, he thinks it's a helicopter, but the helicopter is doing tricks in the sky and making turns that no helicopter can do. So he, at about 3:15, he tells the taxi driver to take him to the first phone, and the first phone is in the Beit Sha'an Industrial Park. He phones a squad car. Well, he phones the police station. The police station sends a squad car, and it spots a UFO above the taxi by about 150 yards. Remember, people, that's a football field and a half above the taxi. That's pretty darn close. The policeman gets very excited, and he wakes up the chief of police, Yitzhak Mordechai. Mordechai arrives at about 3:30 in the morning and sees this vehicle chasing, well, it's now sort of overhead, but it's moving, and he knows it's not an air, he knows it's nothing from Israel. There are no craft he's been warned about from Israel, like the craft above the taxi cab in the Beit Sha'an Industrial Park. And I guess the chief of police knows the secret numbers. He phones an air base called Ramat David. And I know Ramat David. I've served on that air base. It's a very large and modern air base near Beit Sha'an, about 6-7 miles from Beit Sha'an. And the Air Force confirms, well, doesn't confirm, it does not show up on radar, and they send a squadron to Beit Sha'an to look at this thing, and before you know, they radio in and they bring in more squadrons. The police bring in their own squadrons. The security forces of the local keeper's team are told to go on high alert. There seems to be an intrusion into Israel. You've now got by a quarter to four to 4 o'clock, you've now got a squadron following the UFO. Now, I met Chief Mordechai Yitzhak Mordechai before the sightings crew, the TV show Sightings. I made a DVD where I appear on four of the five episodes they filmed in Israel. And I was told to go scouting and pre-interview the people and prepare reports. And he told me the story, and it was repeated on the DVD. That's section 2 of the DVD, which is, by the way, is the least clear of the sections, but you do see this. Yitzhak Mordechai, the chief of police of Beit Sha'an, goes on record and tells the story that he led 400 men on a chase of the UFO. The UFO takes off at about 4 in the morning and heads toward the Jordanian border. That would be less than 10 miles from Beit Sha'an. It's dragging 400 armed men in uniform. They're all chasing this, again, banana-shaped. He describes it as banana shape, about 15 meters in diameter, and it's simply dragging the Israeli Air Force, the Beit Sha'an Police Force, and a lot of civilians from the local kibbutzim on quite a little tour for the next 2 hours, 2.5 hours till 6:30 in the morning. I hear the music.
All right, fine, and we'll be back in just a moment or two with Barry Shamish, The Return of the Giants. Well, Barry, did they send any planes out to look at this?
No planes, but you had people with guns and missiles.
All right, great.
I'm quite aware of the missiles. They were red ice. Back then, they were Stingers by then. They had anti-aircraft missiles. They had, well, simply put, the Israeli Army, Air Force, and police departments were now chasing a UFO, and you had one very brave man, Chief of Police Yitzhak Mordecai, telling the media how changed he was from that night. He said, quite simply, my whole life changed. I followed something that wasn't from this earth. We don't know what it was. Now, I could go into grand detail of meeting the man and so forth, but let's just say that once again, Israeli media are now dealing with a UFO that was followed by their Air Force, that was followed by their Army, by at least one police department, Beit Shan Police Department, witnessed by numerous security officials from the kibbutzim. You cannot deny such expert opinions. Now, we went to the Beit Shan Police Department, and Yitzhak Mordecai had just retired. He was greeted like a king in waiting. They all respected this man so thoroughly. He was a fair man, obviously an excellent chief of police, and he told the whole story. Now, what's very weird about the story is at 6:30 in the morning, it's now broad daylight, and you can see the actual UFO. And a soldier comes up to him and says, I want to shoot it down. And Yitzhak Mordecai says something very wise. He says, why should we shoot it? It isn't shooting at us. And he stopped an attempt to shoot this thing down by the Israeli Air Force. And then it disappeared as the sun came up. This, again, I repeat, is not me making up a story. Now, this DVD that I sent you, there is Yitzhak Mordecai, after a lot of editing and chopping and whatever else, nonetheless, there is the police chief of a pretty major city in Israel, Beit Shan, telling the story of how the Air Force, Army, and police of his town, Beit Shan, chased a UFO for 3.5 hours. Now, this is fine and dandy, except in that same month, we're now leading into Kadima, because Kadima is the place where the aliens, or the beings, the giants, inside this craft or other crafts, however it worked, I don't know how it worked, showed themselves. About 2 weeks later, a very nice guy again, his name is Eli Cohen, he is on the first sightings program on this DVD. He's a young businessman, he sells sofas. He makes sofas, he sells sofas. And in fact, I bought 2 sofas from him. They were very comfortable, very nicely priced. Here's his story. Night one, he's playing cards with friends, and the house lights up. For some reason, they pick on his house. He goes outside with a friend or two, and they see
one. Hold that thought right there. Just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Barry tells the story about the police chief, the chief of Shan, and with 300 armed men and people from the local Air Force base. And of course, he chased this vehicle for several hours, and it's heading towards the border with Jordan. As dawn comes, one of the people from the Air Force wants to shoot down the vehicle, and the police chief says, no, they're not shooting at us. Why should we shoot it at it? And, of course, that pretty well ends up the story, other than it's front page news in Israel. And then, of course, a few weeks later, there's the story of Kadima. And there's a man named Eli Cohen who's actually playing cards with some friends there in Kadima, and suddenly the room in which they are lights up, He goes outside because to see what this brilliant light is and pick up the strawberry.
Oh boy, you brought up other facets that are so important. I'm gonna go back to Bechstein briefly.
All right, go back to Bechstein. Go ahead.
I added something important to the story. There was something that confused the soldiers. When they got to the Jordanian border, the craft stopped and headed back to Beit Shan. And I said to them, well, I don't think the craft stopped. I think you stopped. You couldn't cross into Jordan. And Yitzchak Mordechai said to me, you're absolutely right. They were watching us. If they wanted to go into Jordan, they would have. They were watching us. So I added something to the story that had not been thought of. Now, I'm going to add something very quickly. I was on reserve duty at this time, and I've already explained to you that when I was in the Air Force, we were looking at stuff, and I was kind of a butt of people's jokes because I said these craft have to be UFOs. And I remember that a staff sergeant said to me, well, what do you think about story in Beit Shan? And I said, I got a better question for you. What do you think about the story in Beit Shan? And all of a sudden he stops. There's no reaction, and he says, you know what? I don't know what to tell you about that story. But he was chief of police. He couldn't have been lying. It brought a lot of credibility back in those days that the chief of police went on record saying that he led a convoy chasing a UFO. Now we go to Stay Moshe and Eli Cohen. Stay Moshe is about a mile and a half from Kadima. It is December of 1991. Night one, he's playing cards with some friends. They go outside and they see this, as everyone sees, banana shape. And by the way, banana shape is how you see a round UFO. If you look at it from the side, it's going to look like a banana because it's circular and you can't see the other side of the circle and you see the light, so it looks banana-shaped. It doesn't mean the craft is a banana-shaped craft. It means it's a round craft. And the next night, he's at home all alone, and it's 3 in the morning and it's light and his house lights up. I mean, really lights up. It wakes him up from his sleep. This time, he doesn't open his house lights. He goes looking for his gun. He thinks there are terrorists in the neighborhood. He finds his gun. He's got a wife to protect. A nice lady, about 24 or 25, well, she's older now, but as I recall, pretty woman, and she did not want all these ufologists in her house. She never wanted to talk about this subject. But he was protecting her, and he was protecting, he had a baby daughter, and he thought that his house was being lit up by terrorists. He goes outside, and there it is in the sky all over again. And that morning he says, that's it, I'm borrowing a video camera, and I'm going to film this thing. And that night, it returned. He filmed it for about a half an hour, but the important thing is he filmed it in broad daylight for about 30 seconds. And this film of this UFO became very famous in Israel. It was the second UFO filmed. One was filmed in Haifa in 1988. That's also on the DVD. But what made this film so famous is a year and a half later, 1993, this UFO or ones like it, whatever was scouting Israel and testing the army, finally landed. And now we'll talk about the landings in Kadima, Israel, from March 20th to late July of 1993.
All right, fine. Of course, this gets into a fascinating story because this, of course, involves simply not the craft, but, of course, who was in the craft. And that, of course, as we get to the story of the return of the Giants. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're talking about Ellie Cole, and he's now got the pictures of this craft, and of course these are very, very famous pictures, and you can actually see them on the DVD as I have, and in a few minutes we'll tell you how you can get copies of the DVD if you'd like, but pick this story up there, Barry.
Well, first of all, what was your impression of Ellie Cole? You saw him on the DVD. Did he seem weird in any respect to you?
No, it didn't. In fact, I was quite impressed by them, and certainly I was impressed by the chief of police there, Beth Shaw. He seemed like a very down-to-earth individual.
Very affable and likable and respected. And there's nothing weird about the people who saw the UFOs. Now, there were, in 1993... Between March and July, there were six women. Four of them went on tape. The two women who did go on tape nevertheless contacted us and admitted they had been in face-to-face contact with these giants. That was Clara from Cologne and Mara from Kadima. But let's talk about the women who did meet the giants. We begin with... Now, this Tzipor Carmel is a very lovely woman. She is the only witness who really liked her encounter. Everyone else rued the day that these UFOs disturbed their way of life in pretty drastic ways, by the way. Two of the women got pregnant, and then they lost their pregnancies. And one of the women showed the actual medical reports from 25 years before, when she was 19 years old, that she was pregnant. And then she showed a report where the pregnancy disappeared. Apparently, these UFOs and the giants within were having their way with the women, but the women don't remember this. Okay, let's keep that in mind, but those two pregnancies let me know that there was something else going on. We start with Tzipor Carmel. Now, remember one other fact. Every single incident of giants, all six of them, happened on the Sabbath. All of them. And you go figure that one out, because, frankly, there are 7 days and six women. The odds are not very good that this is a coincidence. We start with Tzipor Carmel, March 20th, 1993.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan, and of course, Barry is telling the story of these six women who encounter the giants. They are all 39 on each occasion. When, of course, they met the giants, it was on the Sabbath. Now, what are the chances that this could have happened just by accident? And two of them, of course, had stories of pregnancies that had come about. They didn't know how, and they'd lost the pregnancy, and they weren't sure how that had happened. A lot of unanswered questions here, but this is a recurrent theme that dealing with these entities. Seems to have a great deal to do with the sexual intimacy. And you say this is crazy talk, and it absolutely is, but something is going on. So you pick up the story, Barry.
Well, Batya Shimon, who I hope we get to, we missed her last time, she had a very strange encounter on two straight nights. She phoned me from Los Angeles and said, I'm pregnant. And she told me, I don't know how, she didn't say why her husband could not have done it, but she said, I assure you, my husband could not have done it. Where did it come from? And she was really shook up. But let's go back to Tzipor Carmel. It's March 20th. She wakes up at about 6:37 in the morning, because once again she was compelled to wake up, whatever that means. She's got a very large backyard. It's an orchard. There are fruit trees growing in it. She goes outside, and she sees what appears to be a fruit silo, an aluminum fruit silo, and she says to herself, who would put up a fruit silo in my backyard overnight? And then the fruit silo seems to grow another story. There's flashing lights, and up it goes, and she looks to her right, And this is all taking place in its seconds, by the way. And there she sees a seven-foot being examining what appears to be the flora of this field behind her house. And don't even ask why. They come 8 light years away, oh God knows what, to look at the flora of Kadima. Nonetheless, she's facing it. They're looking at each other from about 40 yards distance. Eye-to-eye contact. Now, she says it's wearing a hat, like a beekeeper hat. And she knows it's not from this world. And she says to it, can you please take off the hat so I can see your face? And it answers her telepathically in Hebrew and says to her, I can't do that. Lo yachol, I mean, lo yachol, I can't do that for you. And then the seven-foot being wearing silver aluminum clothing tells her to go back in the house. He's busy. She feels compelled to go back in the house. And when she gets back, when she leaves the house later, I don't know how long, half an hour, the fruit silo and the giant are gone. But there's a circle in her backyard, but she doesn't tell anyone until 10 days later, on March 30th of 1993, once again, she has got herself a second circle in this field behind her house. The first circle is now desiccated, and by the way, in March, Israel is rainy and it's green. Well, she had a perfectly round circle, 15 meters in diameter. I guess that means about 5 across. And she calls people. And whatever ufology did exist in Israel in 1993, they descended on her property, and now she is... She's a household name in Israel. She's the one with two circles behind her house. Okay, now within the circles, we're going to talk about what was found. I went to the circles a year later. I felt sickened. Everything was green, but these circles were brown. But there were shards and of metal. And I had the metal tested at the University of Pisa in Italy, at Birmingham University, by Dr. Levin Good of the sightings crew, and someone else had the shards tested by the Israel Geological Institute. Everybody said the same thing. This is as near a perfect silicon as you could get, and it's not found in nature, and in 1993, it was extremely expensive to manufacture. It would have cost thousands of dollars to strew the stuff in the circle. So we had that physical evidence, and there were oils. Now I'm going to go to the oil because I'm going to go to the next victim who lived down the victim witness because she had the creature, the giant, in her bedroom, and that is Shoshi Ahud, the treasurer of the town of Kadima. And boy, she was very different than Tzipporet. Tzipporet loved her UFO. She started becoming a New Age fanatic and collecting crystals and pyramids and reading books on this. No one else reacted so well as Tzipporet. Shosh hated her hated her experience. Now, her experience was a lot different. She's in bed. Her husband, by the way, is downstairs sleeping on the couch. And she feels that a seven-foot giant is floating around her bed. It tells her not to worry. He's not there to harm her. And she believes it. They all believe it. They all get this message, I'm not here to harm you, except for one. We'll go into that shortly. But none of them are fearful. And it floats around her bed, and There are other details. It's in my book, Return of the Giants. You get that at lulu.com. We'll get into that shortly. Nonetheless, she thought she dreamed the whole thing, except in the morning, she looked in her backyard, and there is a perfectly round circle, 50 meters in diameter. I have the, well, it's on the DVD. It's also in my book. The grass is swirled in a certain direction. I was there a year later. It's now desiccated and dead. And nonetheless, the point of the issue is about 100 yards from Seaport's house, the same thing happens. Now, we have to ask one question. Her room was effectively barred. In Israel, they don't have lines like in America where you pull a string and it's plastic, and they have blinds, the real thing. They're thick and they prevent terrorism. By the way, that's an issue there. They block out the sun. This creature to get into her bedroom had to have gone through the walls, and that is not something we can do. They apparently are not physical in the sense that we obey physics. They can do things that are against all logic, or at least the science that we know today says that we cannot walk through walls. They apparently could. Now, once again, the ufologists descend on Kadima. Now, Shosh phones a scientist who lives in Kadima. He's got a magnetometer, whatever. They gauge the magnetism. They collect the silicon, and now the oils. In every circle, there are oils, a red oil. Now, I put my hand in a very fresh circle in Kadima when the crew of sightings arrived, and my hand was red because I squeezed the grass. And the oil came up my hand. And I remember that moment. I said, what the hell is on my hand? What is this stuff? This stuff could be radioactive. And I ran to wash it off. And it was very hard to remove. Traces of it stayed on my hand until I guess the upper derma flaked off or something. This was very sticky stuff. Now, again, I had it tested by the sightings crew, and it was normal oil. It had a lot of iron in it. It had a lot of aluminum in it. But you look at the graph, and Ca cadmium shoots up. There is a great deal of cadmium in this oil. Now, cadmium is not an oil, not in its normal form. It could be made into an oil one way or another. The oil had a lot of cadmium in it. And wherever we went were these same shards of silicon and these same oils of cadmium. And you go figure out what that means, and you go even figure out why there are circles in the backyards. We now go to Chana Somech. Chana Somech lives in Burgata, about 2 miles from Kadima. Now, when the sightings crew arrived, she had circles everywhere on her property. I mean, everywhere. She had them up on the top of trees. Now, her daughter lived 100 yards from her. She had circles all the way to her daughter's bedroom window. The daughter had phoned her mother and said, they're watching me. And her mother told her, just run here as fast as you can. Which she did. Here is the story of Chana Somech. And remember, this is all March to July of 1993 when the Oslo Peace Accord is being, first of all, in March it's being formulated, and in July it's being finished. Once that Oslo Accord was finished, the giants, well, these giants disappeared. They never came back, apparently. There was another giant next year, and we'll talk about that when we get another chance. However, Chana Somech's story is quite remarkable. 3 in the morning on on the Sabbath again. They're all of the Sabbath. She again alights in her kitchen. She goes to the kitchen and she watches her dog. She's got a poodle. The poodle lifts into the air and slams against the kitchen wall, and it lays on the ground dazed. Now she sees a light coming from the window. She's got a patio door, and she tries to go outside and see what the light is coming from, and she's blocked. She can't go past something that's blocking her. She looks outside, and she sees the exact same giant that everyone else sees, 7 feet tall, big round eyes, very small nostril, very small mouth, wearing aluminum or what is sometimes called neon clothing, and seems to shine. It seems to be floating on its feet, and it's examining her husband's pickup truck. Now, again, we ask the question, do you really travel hundreds of light years to Earth to look at a pickup truck? Don't they have anything better to do with their lives? But nonetheless, that's what she reported. Now, Chana Somek is really angry, and she says to this giant, "What did you do to my dog?" That's the first thing on her mind, that somebody hurt her poodle. And the giant turns around and says to her, "Can't you see I'm busy? I could do the same thing to you. Go back to your husband. I have work to do." Look, if you think these people came to Earth to give wisdom to the people of Israel, that's what they said to them. "I could crush you like an ant," is one of his quotes. That's on the DVD. And then, well, she goes to the bedroom. Her husband's on guard duty. She phones him up. He rushes back home. And what do they find but, lo and behold, a 15-meter circle in the backyard filled with shards and red oil. That's the story of Chana Somek. She is the one who was pregnant 25 years previously when she was 19 years old and lost the pregnancy. Now we go on to Batya Shimon. Batya Shimon lives in Rishon LeZion. She was visited twice, but very strange visitations. She lives on the seventh floor of an apartment block. Up till now, these giants have been visiting houses with backyards. This is different. They beam, and I say this, by the way, I don't know how they beam. I don't know how beams work. I don't even know how they got into the seventh floor without the elevator. If you ask me, they should have landed their craft, walked into the elevator, and gone to the seventh floor, but that's not the way they do things. Night number one, she's got two of these giants in her bedroom. The husband sleeps through it, just like Shoshi Yehud's husband sleeps through it. He remembers vaguely that there was a light, and he remembers stuff, but not well enough. Batya Shimon remembers it perfectly. Now here's why she got in touch with us. There was a TV show, 2 hours, primetime TV, of the giants and the witnesses to the giants. Shosh and Tziporet were on the show. They asked people to phone up, anyone who's had a similar experience. Batya Shimon phoned up. Night number one, two of them roaming her apartment. One comes into her bedroom, just like Shosh Yehud. He's floating on his feet, not actually standing on the floor. He's 7 feet tall with a round face, black eyebrows, round eyes, barely any nostrils or mouth. Exact same description, and he tells her that he's not there to harm her, and suddenly she feels very relaxed, and she feels he has a friendly face. Now, her story is that his partner, there are two giants in the house, goes into the son's bedroom and sees a fish aquarium, and gets very, very excited by the fish, calls his the other giant over. They both look at the aquarium. They get thrilled by the fish, and then that's the last thing she remembers. Except the next night, the apartment is lit up. She's got 13, she counted 13 of them running around her apartment, dusting her shelves. They're putting a, she calls it a phosphorus smelling a powder on her shelves. She says it stunk up the whole apartment. She had to clean up the whole place the next day. It stunk of phosphorus. There were 13 in her apartment checking over everything. Now, we can all dismiss this, but I was on a TV show when finally the people of Israel are really talking about these giants.
Hold on right there. We'll be right back.
Right.
All right, pick up the story, and then we'll get your address and your website out at the end of this break. But just go ahead and tell the rest of the story.
Okay. In short, the show, the hostess, her name was Ruby. She had the whole gang there. She had the things we haven't talked about, Moshe Porat next to Kadima. There were animal mutilations. She had that family over. She had Batya and she had them all over. They all agreed. Israelis back then were very naive. They talked about their experiences. They weren't shy about it. It's not like in America where everyone's going to make fun of them. People listened to them. There was a poll at the end of the show, and it asked, do you believe that giants are roaming Israel? I believe the figure was 59% yes, and about 25% no. The vast majority believed of Israelis believed that everyone was telling the truth. I was interviewed in the show, and Ruby said to me, you're a journalist, you're covering this story, what do you make of it? And I said to Ruby, I said, here's your choice. You have six women, all of about the same age, who don't know each other, have never met each other, all describing the same seven-foot giants, describing their looks, their eyebrows, their noses. They're all describing it the same way. Now, you have a choice. Six people who don't know each other all got together one night and decided to pull a fast one on Israel. That's choice number one. Choice number two, they're all telling the truth. And I guess that little argument made a very big dent in the poll taken amongst Israelis that they were telling the truth. The Nephilim returned to Israel while the Oslo Accord was being written and formulated and finalized. And when that awful, horrible, so-called peace agreement that is going to lead to the end of Israel was finalized, the giants left. Now, when I wrote the book, Return of the Giants, I read the Old Testament, what we call the Tanakh, just to find out, is there any record of giants? My goodness, there's a record of giants.
Go right ahead.
Well, the last giant killed, we won't go into the Anakim, the Zamzumim, the Rephaim, the Nephilim. There are plenty of giants mentioned in the Old Testament.
Hold that thought, Jerry. Barry, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you've been as fascinated with this story as I have. And this is the second time I've heard it, but of course it's all recorded in Barry's book, The Return of the Giants. Barry, how can people get in touch with you? How can they get your book? How can they get your DVD?
Okay, the book is easy. You go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com. You'll see a little space that says search. Write my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. You'll see lots of books. I would also recommend Bye Bye Gaza, my latest book. It's political, but you'll see Return of the Giants. And order the color version, because the color version has the UFO shots in the back of the book, and you can actually see one shot, especially, of an actual alien captured on film. It's worth it. As for the DVD, write me, Chamish, Chamish, at netvision, netvision.net.il. Chamish at netvision.net.il. And you may look at my website, barrychamish.com, and you'll at least hear our interviews together, but you won't find much UFO there. You'll find a lot of politics there. But the DVD, that's one thing you have to order from me. I'm going to do something daring. Here's my cell number, 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. I'll send it to you for like $20, including the shipping, and it's worth it. It doesn't have a label on it even. It will shortly, and you'll see all this. You will meet these women. You will see the UFO that they spotted, and I guess that's it. I guess I covered it.
You did, and thank you so very much. Our guest has been Barry Chamish, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, Barry.
Oh, fantastic.
Thanks
thank
so very
you
much.
Again.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Barry Chamish, and always a fascinating interview, and this is a fascinating story. It's been in print for a long time, front page in Israel over a number of years. When the giants came, and then, of course, shortly after Oslo, and the Oslo Accord, which betrayed the state of Israel, why it all ended. Now, is this evidence of some people with a fertile imagination? Is there really another dimension? Are these beings from another planet, or are they from the other dimension? Are these demonic manifestations? Well, we have a fair amount of information on this. We have a great book we offer called Alien Intervention. That's Alien Intervention, and it certainly gives you a view on the aliens, UFOs that you won't find elsewhere, but it's what I certainly agree with. We're going to be carrying another book by Tom Horn, and we'll be interviewing him later. It's called Stargate. And, of course, it gives you all of the information on from many of the people who are professional ufologists who, even though they may not be coming from a Christian or religious point of view, came to the conclusion that these beings, these structures, are metaphysical. They come from the other dimension. So we have both of these books. One is called Alien Intervention, the other is Stargate, and then, of course, we have my talk on The Forbidden Secret. That's The Forbidden Secret, and, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will take you into the beings from the other dimension. There really are another dimension there. There really are people, mediums, and certainly clairvoyants, and certainly fortune tellers, divinators, water witches, witches, Satanists, who are in contact with the beings from the other dimension. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today.